I'm honored that you're here this morning. With all the things that are going around, the hype and things, I truly do consider it an honor to be here with you this morning. A couple weeks ago, we found some problems in the sound system, and it was some wiring that went on, and so they're continuing to make some adjustments. So if there's squeals or noise or things like that, it's because they're still figuring out the sound system wired properly. As we start our message this morning, we're going to just continue our study in the book of Mark. And hopefully that rascal comes up. I don't see it yet, but hopefully it will. If not, we'll use sermon notes and work through sermon notes. Before we do that, and I actually had a little bit later, let's talk a little bit about this green sheet here. The green sheet is just from the CDC, facts about this virus that's going around. And please, as Pastor Trevor said, there's only one thing that has determined the number of days that I live or you live, and that's God Almighty. Only one thing. I believe whether I am racing a motorcycle, which I used to do, or traveling in a plane, or walking across the street, or sleeping in the bed, there's only one thing that determines when I go home to be with Him, and that's Him, for His glory. And so, fear not. I mean, that is the most repeated command in all of the scriptures. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Be of good courage. Fear not, fear not, fear not. We need not fear, okay? Let's be wise and use common sense, but let's fear not. You know, and I don't want to scare you, and I haven't had biology for quite a while, but I had nursing biology in high school and then also in college. And from what I remember, this is a virus. There's no known cure for the virus, any virus. We cannot break through the polypeptide bond, okay? We can't, but our bodies can destroy it. Our bodies can kick its butt. You know, little Roman back there, he's probably got the healthiest immune system in this whole room, you know, and newborns do, and if they're nursed by their moms, you know, in the first 2-3 weeks, all these extra antibodies get pumped in, and his immune system is probably better than anything, any of us in this room. So just common sense, common sense, common sense. So I guess that rascal's not coming up. Can we get the PowerPoint up? I know they'll be working on it. And if it doesn't come, it doesn't. Oh, there it is. Okay. So again, common sense, common sense. The thing that's bad that I understand, and yesterday I was at a conference and they made me a group leader in this men's conference. One of the guys that was in my group was a doctor of 40 plus years. And I said, what's your take on this? And he said, this thing is nothing. On a 1 to 10 list, it's way down at the bottom. What is serious about this thing is how easily it's transferred to other people. But if you get it and you're in good health, your immune system will probably just kick its butt. Okay, because it's a virus. Because your immune system, you know, the endocrinetic system and all that kind of stuff, and I get into lymphocytes and phagocytes and all that, but we don't need to. What happens is your body encapsulates it, and then it gets washed out of the system, okay? And here's kind of how it works from what I remember of biology. I could be wrong. But, you know, when you're exposed to something like a vaccine is simply a weakened form of whatever it is. So that then your body, it takes your body about 24 to 36 hours to build up its immune system. So a vaccine injects you with a weakened form. Some are live, some are dead forms. And so then your body attacks the weakened form. And it takes 24 to 36 hours to build up its immunity. Then any time in the future that same virus you're exposed to, your body produces millions and millions of antibodies to that one thing, and it just, boom, attacks it, and it's killed quick. That's what a vaccine is, from what I remember, and what I looked on the internet this week. Science hasn't changed since I was in biology class in college 1,000 years ago, okay? So, anyway, please, 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 if you have an immune system that is, you know, poor or something like that, yes, you need to be very cautious about things. You know, when Lent was on chemotherapy treatment, you know, don't go in public places because her immune system was compromised. Now, actually, Lynette never got a cold the whole time she was on that stuff. I was amazed. God protected her. God can protect us. God is in control. God is in control. Amen? Nothing controls my destiny but my Abba Father and your Abba Father. Nothing does. So let's have common sense, use common sense. So we're trying to practice common sense here. So we've got this stuff that, you know, you rub it on surfaces and it kills just about anything. I'm afraid to touch this stuff because it'll probably kill me too. But we're doing that. We're doing that to the pews. We're doing that all over, to light switches, to doorknobs, that kind of thing. But still, if someone comes here and has that and they spit on it or whatever, you know, it's going to be there. So if you're sick, please just stay home and just follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Common sense, follow the Holy Spirit's leading, okay? Follow his leading. And if you have other questions, we're going to meet as elders, as Trevor said, right after this service to look at different things, what we can do common sense-wise just to prevent. If there is something, if it does come our way, we'll have taken procedures to eliminate it. If you're sick, stay home and worship the Lord. I don't know how soon our sermons are online, but they're there within a couple days anyway. But there are other preachers. There are good preachers on the radio. You know, on TV, show my age of radio, on TV. There are good guys out there. There's really horrific ones, but there's good ones too. So if you're sick, worship the Lord at home. Worship the Lord at home, okay? And if you have other questions for me, you're welcome to ask. Again, my biology is 20 years old or more, but from what I read this week, it was pretty, there hadn't been a whole lot of change. So just please read that, common sense, and we're going to try and follow those practices basically, you know, in the days ahead. And we're going to try as leadership to keep you informed. So yesterday, an email went out to you. In the next day or two, another email will probably go out to you. We're just going to try and keep you updated. And if you did not get an email from the church, please let me know and we'll just add you to our list. And we just want to get the word out as things change. But right now, I don't have any intent. The elders will need to decide, but I don't have any intent of shutting down the worship. Okay? That I know some churches have in places, and in all honesty, I don't care what the government says. If the government says you can't go to church, they stepped across the big line there. You'll come visit me, right? You know, in Acts chapter 5, it came to the place where the religious leaders in the government told the apostles, you cannot preach in the name of Jesus. And then they were flogged. They were beaten. And when the apostles left, first, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. And second, they just kept on preaching. They kept on preaching. That's civil disobedience. That's biblical civil disobedience. Rejoice that we're counted worthy to suffer for Jesus, and let's keep on worshiping and preaching the word of God. Amen? That's our plan. That's my plan. That's my strategy. Okay? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Okay, we're continuing in the Gospel of Mark. And yeah, in 10 years, we'll probably be through Mark. It might not take quite that long. But, you know, my one preaching class, I do remember they said, never do this kind of thing. But, oh, well, we feel led the Lord to do, and we're going to continue. Jesus begins talking in parables to his hearers. And now we're at the parable of the soils. Our primary existence is walking in intimacy with God. I think the whole plan of God was from the very beginning. He allowed us to have for Adam and Eve to fall. That didn't take him by surprise. And Jesus came to reestablish so that we would have intimacy with God moment by moment. And if we're walking in intimacy with God, we simply need to invite others to do the same. And now, because things got a little turned around, the big thing about this rascal is common sense, folks. Common sense, and follow the Holy Spirit's leading. And by the way, if it's blue underlined and in that font, it means there's a blank in sermon notes, if you're taking sermon notes. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. And I cheated. I marked my Bible already, so I'm already there. But I'll give you a minute or two. I'm just going to read through these verses. Yes, you're going to have to suffer through me reading again. I'm not the best reader, but I'll do my best. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And in your Bibles, it probably says the parable of the sower. Most Bibles say that. I think it's more about the parable of the soils, not necessarily the sower. Verse 1, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that was gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were gathered along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching said, listen, or heads up. Hey, y'all. Okay, that's all that means to get your attention. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and some of the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear fruit. Still, I guess he saw my gardens whenever I made my gardens. That's what happened to my gardens. Weeds grew up and choked it out. Still, other seed fell among good soil. It came up, grew, and produced the fruit, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Don't you love that? I love that statement. He who has ears, let him hear. What is he basically saying? This participation time. He who has ears, let him hear. What's the inference to that? Some people what? Some people don't have ears. He who has ears, let him hear. The implication is some people do not have ears. Do we? Okay. Let me put these on the right way. When he was alone, the 12 and others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that... And now he quotes from the prophet Isaiah, may they be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sowed the word. Some people were like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, who hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on the good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Wow, what a parable. He who has ears, let him hear. That's an intriguing statement. Some of us here don't have ears. I hope all of us do, but according to Jesus, some of us don't. So, let's just continue on. So, Jesus quotes Isaiah 6:9. Please remember that people in Isaiah's day and Jesus' day did not have the Holy Spirit like we do. I mean, we look back at the disciples. If you're like me, I'm like, oh my goodness, I would not have been that stupid. I would not. My grandpa, he would say thicky. You know, he'd thump us in the head when we did something stupid. He'd thump us in the head thump. And then he invented that, I think. And then he'd say thicky. You know, it was just so edifying. So edifying. So building up of esteem. Please remember that in Jesus' day and in Isaiah's day, the Holy Spirit came upon certain people, and then you could lose the Holy Spirit, and he'd be gone, and you wouldn't have that insight. Remember King David. King David, the man after God's own heart, in Psalm 51, he committed sin. He did that horrible thing, and then in his repentance, he pleaded with God, please do not take your spirit from me. See, that doesn't happen today. When we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit. He is there. So we have this edge up on these guys. These guys, the Holy Spirit came and went at times. And sometimes you might feel like you're not hearing the Holy Spirit and difficult to hearing. And that's okay. I promise if you pursue in seeking him, you'll hear him. My sheep know my voice. They recognize my voice. They won't follow another. But I understand that there can be some dark times, some quiet times, where you feel like, wow, I'm all alone here. I understand that. Some church fathers called it the dark night of the soul. That's when it extends for a long period of time and you don't hear his voice. But today, sometimes we don't. And I was talking with Chris this week, and Chris was telling me the story in his life, in his personal life, and I said, wow, would you like to give a testimony? So Chris is going to come and share a modern-day testimony with us about this very topic of kind of hearing from the Lord.
Oh, boy. You guys got me? I hope, God, please let what you want to be conveyed, and nothing else, God. So this week, and in my quiet time, I was, feeling like I could not hear God when I would have those quiet moments that Jeff likes to allow us to have in the service. I rarely heard him talk during those times, but I could hear him talk throughout my day. And I could hear him telling me to do things and my prayer every morning is usually, help me to hear your will, God, and to do that. And so, but I was concerned that I was not hearing him during the times when I specifically set aside. And Jeff keeps saying, you can't put God in a box, you can't put God in a box. So I wasn't too concerned, but Nancy was telling me how she was hearing from God in her quiet time, and I was getting a little jealous. So I kept praying, God, just let me hear your voice. And I was reading in 1 and 2 Corinthians past several weeks. And one of the things that he's speaking about is, raising money for and giving money to the people in Jerusalem who were in desperate need at that time. While I'm reading this and I've prayed God speak to me, he points me to, in my mind, kind of a savings envelope that we have. And we have like some envelopes set aside for things that we're saving for. And one of them was, we've been putting a little bit in here and there for like what we think we're going to have to like do like a medium to small home repair in the future. So we're just kind of prepping for that. It's not an emergency, but we're just kind of prepping for that. And it's not a huge amount of money, but it's big enough to possibly cause some concern in our marriage, some ripples in the marriage. And so I said, all right, God, if you want me to, I missed what he wanted me to give. At the same time, he's telling me about this envelope. He's telling me, he's reminding me about Pastor Tank, who some of you men may know because Pastor Tank came and spoke here at the men's retreat in February. And Pastor Tank is from Cleveland, and he's a church planner. And he's planning a church in Ward 7, and he's been on my heart because I could hear his heart when he was speaking. He's got a burden for the people in Ward 7, and he is committed. Like, God has called him to that area, and anybody who's ever done church plants, I've heard, needs some encouragement and help. And I signed up for their newsletter at their church that they're about to plant, and so they've been, sending me emails about things that they need. Well, they've got a building now that they are considering purchasing up in Ward 7 of Cleveland, and God put that on my heart at the same time he put this envelope on my heart. So I knew where the money needed to go. I knew kind of what amount of money he wanted me to give, and I knew that he was putting that burden on my heart to give. Only I had that money set aside for something else, so I said to God, maybe I could give some of that money, God. I can probably give some of that money to Ward 7 Church because it's not too much money, it's not a lot of money. I don't want to make a big deal about the amount of money. That doesn't matter. The thing I want you to get is that God is speaking to me. So I said, God, I know you're not going to put any kind of, you're not going to tell me to do something that's going to cause stress in my marriage. So I'm going to pray, Lord, that I'm going to ask Nancy to pray about what, I'm going to tell her what you've spoken to me, and I'm not going to tell her a number. And I just want you to speak the number to her to give me a confirmation. And for whatever reason, Nancy has given me the responsibility of managing our finances in our house. Dr. Bozick is totally capable of doing that, but some reason she lets me do it. And she likes, but she doesn't really have any idea about what we are saving for in terms of specifics. She knows the generalities, but she doesn't know like how much money is in what envelope or what accounts and things like that. So I buy a lot of guitars. But that's a different story. So I prayed, God, give Nancy a number. And I went and told Nancy that night the whole story. The next morning, she wakes up and she speaks to me. She said, did God tell you a number? I said, well, I don't know. Did he tell you a number? And she said, yeah. I said, well, what is it? And she said, pretty much the dollar amount that was in that envelope. And so I knew that God didn't want me to give a part of that. He wanted me to give all of that envelope to this church in Cleveland. And so I told Nancy that's exactly what was in that envelope. There was like a little bit extra in that envelope, but that was clearly the number that God had for us to give. And so I went on their church's website, and I gave through their website to the church in Cleveland exactly the money that was in that envelope. And It was a really cool thing. Not only did I do that, but I felt God telling me to call that pastor, Pastor Tank. Hey, buddy, God's moving here in Buchanan for your calling in Cleveland. And he was very encouraged by that because he was struggling. I mean, even right now, like churches are concerned about should we even meet, and he's got doubts about things. And so he was very encouraged by that, you know. And again, it was less about the dollar amount and more of just about, hey, God is moving and he's supporting them. And, you know, I would invite you, if you are wanting to give, they have a church need. They're planting a church in an area that has a deep need. And so that is not our tithe. That is not where we tithe. We tithe here. That is an extra gift. And, you know, if you have a calling in your heart to give where there is desperate need, come talk to me. That's my testimony. God is good. He's moving and he's real and he speaks. So look out.
Amen. God speaks today. Amen. And he just does. Now, if self is all involved in it, we'll get it messed up. Okay? Because I did a similar thing. Remember Gideon put out the fleeces? God just told Gideon to do it. Then he said, oh, really, really, really? And if you do this, do this. If it really is, if it really is, if it really is. No, 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 we're not talking about that, because that was actually an act of disobedience. God spoke to him and said, do this. And then he put all kinds of, prove it to me, prove it to me. But let me give you an example of my messing up. Lynette grew up in a home where they prayed specifically like that and got specific answers. So when we were engaged, she said, okay, you pray for a date to get married. And I said, next Sunday. It's the truth. So self can't be in it. But when you open yourself up and say, Lord, what's your will? The Lord's speaking to you. And then he may at times confirm it through someone else, even to the dollar amount. You know, God is still at work. God wants to come. He loves you. You know, not long ago, someone told me, you know, when I said, how do you understand that you hear God's voice? My sheep hear my voice. The person said that, well, that's just for salvation. So do you think God wants to establish a relationship and then ignore you the rest of your life? No, he loves us. He wants to have an ongoing intimacy with every one of us. And that's just what's constant throughout the scriptures. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. Now, our sin can hinder that. All kinds of things can hinder that. But sometimes, I already referred to Roman back there. But let me tell you, there's going to come a point in time where Roman wants to see his mom every second. It's called separation anxiety. Every single second. But you know what? He's going to have to grow beyond that. Or that'd be joined at hip to mom, you know. And yeah, there are some people joined to the hip at mom through all their life. But the normal thing, the healthy thing is that mom steps away. She's still there. She's still watching. She's still nearby. But he has to learn that mom is still there, even though he can't see her, smell her, or touch her. The same thing happens in our spiritual journey. We're babes in Christ. And one of the things is, I think God intentionally goes silent so that he's still here. We can't see him, hear him, smell him, touch him, or any of that, but he's still there. That happened to me with the death of Lynette. My goodness, everything got totally silent. I mean, who turned the volume off? Who did? Well, God did it for my growth so that I would trust him even in silence. I'm going to trust you. Job said, you know, do y'all remember the story of Job? This is all free, by the way. This is not in the PowerPoint. Job said, through all that stuff happened, though you slay me, I will trust you. Man, it was a growth in Job, all that stuff happening. Now, please don't pray for patience unless you really want to grow. I really want to grow, so I'm willing to pray for it. But don't pray for it unless you really want it, because God will hear and answer your prayers. And I want to grow. I want to grow. So we're going to go back to Mark now. Okay, we're ready to transition back to Mark. What the seed is the gospel. The gospel is the seed. Every one of us, I had some junk. We cleaned out our garage, and it still looks like I didn't even touch it. But I had a bunch of seed there. I bought all kinds of seed that I think I got ripped off. But anyway, I was out casting seed this past week because I saw it was going to rain like almost every day for a week. So I'm throwing seed out there because I figure it's going to get down, germinate, and all that kind of good stuff. So I'm casting the seed. The parable is about sowing seed. The seed is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we've been called to do. Share with others what we know to be true, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we've got seed that fell on the path. And here's what Mark says. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was shown to them. Satan does not want the seed to get out. He does not want people to hear the gospel. And with some people, when they hear the gospel, Satan just comes and takes it right away. Oh, no, that can't be true. Whatever, whatever, whatever. Whatever the excuse is. But our adversary is not other people. It's the enemy. It's Satan. He comes and wants to rob the seed. That's why it's so important that we be consistent salt and light, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. I knew some people, I grew with some people that, you know, they were different on Sunday, but the rest of the week, they were like everyone else. People need to see Christ in us, the hope of glory, every day consistently. I had a foreman once that he would share the gospel with you, and then 5 minutes later when he's angry, he'd cuss you out. That boy needed a dope slap so bad. In fact, the other mechanics, I never did anything. That was back in the shortages. You know, does anyone remember the fuel shortages? Anyone old enough to remember that? I remember them. And he had this little car that he put a 3-cylinder diesel engine in. And so one week they would add gas to it, and he thought he was getting 100 miles to a gallon. Then the next week they'd siphon it out. And he'd take it all apart and tell us all about it. Oh, I figure what was wrong. Well, those guys did that to him because they despised him. Because he was so inconsistent. He was a big H. What's H stand for? Close to. He was a hypocrite. And by the way, when I was a youth pastor, and I was at one time, the most used words to describe that kids describe their Christian parents was H. I hope that's not true with you. And your family is the hardest one to be consistent with because they see you when you got your guard down and they see you in your underwear, kind of. Are you with me? It's just hard. Satan is the enemy. Satan comes and he steals it. That's one group of people. He's given us four classes of people. The first class is along the path, and Satan comes and steals it. The next is someone rocky places. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, they quickly fall away. Discipleship. Discipleship. We have, it might be later on in this, we've been called to make followers of Jesus, not just converts. That means if someone prays to receive Jesus, we disciple them. We follow up with them. We get them in the Word of God so that they learn the Word of God and that they continue their journey in Christ. A week ago, we had a flower up here. Remember Trevor said about it? We have appointed, it was a lady that prayed to receive Christ. I was the one that shared the gospel with her, and she prayed to receive Christ. One of our ladies that's her friends is doing the follow-up. Let me tell you, okay, I'm going to be totally politically incorrect. If you lead someone to Jesus and you abandon them and don't follow up, I'm going to come after you. Not going to hurt you, but I'm going to come after you. We're going to have a come to Jesus talk. Okay? Because that's, we've not been called to make converts. We've been called to make disciples who obey everything that I commanded you. I know it's in here later on, but so repetition penetrates the dullest of minds. So that's why I put it there for me. So they receive it with joy, but no root. They last only a short time. Seed among thorns. That's the last category, or the third category. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things come in and choke the word out and make it unfruitful. That would never happen to us, right? None of you have an old Corvette that you work on and sometimes it gets your eyes on it instead of the Lord. None of you have any of those hobbies or projects. No one goes, I don't know what ladies do, I honestly don't, but hunting, fishing, all that kind of stuff. At one point in my life, that was pretty important. Nowadays, not at all. Because it can distract me from the best thing. It can make us unfruitful. We're so busy doing that, that we're not being salt and light. Now, you can do both at the same time. But so many times, you know, the deceitfulness of wealth, the allure of the world gets us so that we're so focused on that that we forget why we're actually there. You know, it's possibly such a good teacher, such a good pharmacist, such a good whatever, that you lose sight that you're really there. You're a Christian that has been placed there to tell others about Jesus Christ. Your real calling is to share the good news of Jesus Christ, not to get fired doing it. Peter says, do it with gentleness. Share the hope that's within you with gentleness. I mean, I grew up in the church that you got the biggest Bible you had and you hit them over the head with it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you love on people, you care about people, you pray for people, and you let the Holy Spirit flow through you. And eventually, those who are ripe unto harvest, they're going to ask questions. Why are you different? What's going on? I don't understand. Why? And then you just share with them. And besides, you don't lead anyone to Jesus. The Holy Spirit does. It's the Holy Spirit that does all the work. It's Christ and the Holy Spirit in me, oozing through me, that others will see. By the way, do you ever watch people when you're walking around Walmart or anywhere? Man, just look at their faces. Some of those people are mean and nasty. They do not have Jesus. Or if they do, they're hiding him really good. I mean, I try and smile. I'm amazed. If I smile to someone, 99% smile back. But I believe it's Jesus. I believe that's Jesus. I believe that's the Holy Spirit in us. But there are some sourpusses. And by the way, my home church, it was full of sourpusses. Man, it was like, where's the joy of the Lord? You know? And this is a wrong perception I had, but I grew up that if you were really mature in Christ, you were a sourpuss up here. Now I'm like, if you're a sourpuss, something's wrong. If you're Eeyore, something's wrong. If you're an Eeyore, something is wrong. Paul would be on you like ugly on ape if you were an Eeyore. Because the joy of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, just should be welling up inside of us. All things, I don't care what it is, all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. I hope I have joy in my life now. Do I miss Lynette? Absolutely I do, but I have a joy that can't be taken away. And I have a hope. Knowing, I know where she is. I don't want her to come back. Well, at times I want her to come back, but then I think about it and I'm like, how selfish would that be? She's in paradise. Stop it. Don't even think that. Because I miss Lynette a lot. I miss her a lot. And by the way, another thing of this virus, so I'm asking you guys to adopt my approach for the next month or so. Let's not hug each other. If you got to do anything, elbow bump, okay? Because your elbow can't touch your mouth or face or anything like that, which is another thing. You know, they say don't scratch your nose. When I was a kid in church, my mom would say, now whatever you do, don't start giggling and laughing. Oh my goodness, everything was so funny in church. I couldn't stop. You know, if I tell you not to scratch your nose, what are you going to start doing? You're going to have all those itches. But let's not hug each other in coffee and conversation today. Go out there, have fellowship. But, you know, elbow bumps or whatever, no hugs, okay? You know, adopt my approach. Warped as it is for this short time, just adopt my approach, okay? Now, the last type of soil is good soil. I wish I had more of it around my house. I got clay. But good soil, what is good soil? People that hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. So now we're going to look at some observations. Here's just the first one that just probably hits you and hits me. 3 out of 4 soils do not produce fruit. That's not a good stat. 3 out of 4 do not produce fruit. And what's fruit? Fruit is, you know, since it's the gospel, it's people who pray to receive Christ. Now, do not raise your hand, but how many of us in the recent past led anyone to Jesus? It's an old stat, but it used to take 1,000 Christians 1 year to make one convert. It's an old stat. I couldn't find the current one. 1,000 Christians 1 year to make one convert. Now, understand the Holy Spirit is involved in that. Only He does that. But we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. In fact, for the longest time, we weren't even reaching our own children. We are not even reaching our own kids. Now, we were a part of a dedication service. They vowed to do their everything they know to bring their children to Jesus and raise them up. We vowed, if you stood up, you vowed that you're going to help them. Ouch. So if you see some kid running around here, don't kick them to the side. Smile at them and encourage them. Even if they got green snot coming out or that kind of thing, you know. That's my grandkids right now, green snot and rubbing it off on me. But love them, love them, love them. Troubles and persecution. That's what we're going to find. Because the enemy's going to come after us. Worries of this life. Anyone have worries of this life? If you don't, something's wrong with you. Then you're probably so heavenly minded, you know earthly good. I've met those people too. I'm not talking about that. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. The deceitfulness of wealth. I'm seeing a guy this week that's going to tell me how poor I am. I hope I die preaching. I hope so. That's what I've been asking. Let me die preaching, Lord. I'll just boom. It's done. Don't let me live long. Just let me die preaching. I've got insurance. I got myself covered. But if I live a long time, I'm in deep weeds. The desires for other things. The desire for... Hobbies aren't wrong unless the hobbies are more important than our love for God. Everything is okay, but it's not always the best for us. In fact, the good things in life are usually the enemy of the best. And the best is this. Paul says that. So, there are lots of ways to measure success. And I think the primary one is Jesus' command, let us make disciples. Who make disciples? Who make disciples? He didn't say make converts. He said make disciples. Teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. And so my question this morning is, how are we doing? How are we doing? And in a little while, we're going to pray. There I am, itching my nose. I'm not supposed to. Just look at me and do the opposite, and you'll probably be okay, all right? Here's how you start. Pray, Lord who? Lord who? Who is it? Who is it in my life already that you want me to be in their lives? And then just be a friend. My dad used to regularly say, and by the way, this knife here is my dad's knife, because dad used to say when I was a kid, where's your knife, boy? What good's a boy without a knife? So I have my dad's knife now, okay? Please don't anyone freak out. It's my dad's knife. It'll be in my pocket or on my side, hopefully till the day I die. Just have my dad close. And my dad used to say, son, how do you have all these friends? Dad, you just be a friend. Be a friend and you'll have friends. But see, I think we get so busy doing stuff that we don't have time for other people. Just be a friend. Just be a friend. That's how you get friends. Be a friend. But it begins with asking the Lord, Lord, who do you want me to befriend? Who's in my life? And just lean in that direction. And if they say no, it's okay. Last week, 2 weeks ago, you know, when we got these little red books and with the Billy Graham Crusade, if you were going to be a counselor, you had to say, I will practice on someone reading it. And so the first person I went to and asked, can I read you this? I'm only going to ask you one question. What do you think? That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to read it to you and say, what do you think? The first person I asked turned me down. I was bummed. What's going on? I'm going to just read this to you. I need someone. First person said, no, not interested. Now I thought you turkey you. So then I said, okay, Lord, I was wrong. I must have misheard you. Who would you like me to read this to? And I heard him say the name of the person. So I called him up and said, hey, I have some homework to do. Can I read you this tract? He said, sure. So I did. I went and read it to him. What do you think? And then I did ask him one other question. I said, may I ask you one other question? How certain are you that if you were to die, that you would go to heaven? And they said, I'm really not that certain. Well, you can know for sure. There's no magic in prayer, but if you just ask Jesus into your heart, you'll know for sure. Would you like to do that? Yes, I would. Cool. So the first one, just ask the Lord, just ask the Lord, just ask the Lord, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? You don't have to befriend everybody. Smile at everybody. But just ask the Lord, who is it that you want me to invest in? Who is it you want me to befriend? And by the way, it's just about sharing your testimony. And you see it on TV all the time if you watch any commercials. I love Prime because there's no commercials in it. But if you have commercials, you know this toothpaste. I was so lonely and desperate, I couldn't find anyone. And they're standing there with a pretty girl or a pretty handsome guy, whatever. That's all a testimony is. That's all it is. That's all it is. Before Christ, I've told you before, I was terrified of the dark and everything else. I was really afraid of stuff. I prayed to receive Christ, and it all changed. It all changed. I have very little fear nowadays. Ever since then, it just changed. So for me, the biggest thing that he touched in my life was fear. Did he touch other things? Absolutely. But that was the biggie. Before, I was full of fear. Then I asked Jesus into my heart. Now I don't have too much. Some people wish I had more fear, but I don't. You know, we were up north a few years ago, and busload of people, van, and driver said, would you guys like to go out on the frozen ice? I'm like, go for it, dude. There were people freaking. He drove right out onto the pond, or actually the lake, and we drove around a while and then went off. There were people freaking. I'm like, hey, today's a good day to meet Jesus. I just turned around and said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. What's with you guys? Testimony. The biggest thing, reason people don't share their faith is they're afraid. That's the number one reason. They're afraid. Just ask permission. Can I share what God has done in my life? When they ask you, why are you so weird? Why are you different? Well, gee, can I share with you what made the difference? Before Jesus, I prayed to receive Jesus, and now that's all a testimony is. That's all it is. You can say it in 30 seconds. You can say it in 30 minutes. Just add to it. And then, as we've been saying, praying to receive Jesus is only the beginning. If you lead someone to Jesus and you abandon them, we're going to have a come to Jesus conversation. I think you know what it means. Whenever my dad said that meant I was getting a whooping. I won't whoop you, but I will challenge you with the Word of God. Again, and this is just going back, who is your Timothy and who's your, I don't even know how to put the word in there. That's the feminine ending for Greek words. If you're a man, who are the Timothys in your life that you're helping to grow in their wisdom and knowledge, in their intimacy with God? And if you're a lady, who's your Timothea? I don't know how to say it. I just put that in there, okay? Phil's grinning because he probably knows that's so totally wrong. I just added the Greek ending to Tim. That's all I did. Okay? So, as these awkward moments of silence, I'm just going to begin a prayer and I'm going to ask the Lord to show me who. That's why we've been placed here primarily. And yes, ladies, it begins in your own house first. Men, it begins in your own house first. But then, whoever God wants. Whoever God wants. Okie doke. And really, I know it's shooting fish in a barrel. You don't have a choice because I'm going to lead in prayer, then silence, and then I'll close in prayer. And then we'll sing. So in one sense, you don't have it. You don't have a choice. Oh, well, sorry, but I'm not sorry. So I'm going to just brief prayer and then a silent time. Lord, reveal. And I'm not putting God in a box. He might show you this afternoon, tomorrow, 2 days from now. You'll be walking in work and see someone and all of a sudden it'll hit you. That's the one. I'm not putting in a box. We're just giving you an opportunity that if he wants to in this next minute of silence, he can. If he wants to do it some other time, he can do that too. Okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Abba, Father, Jesus, thank you for this parable of the soils. Boy, please keep working in me. Who began a good work in you will bring about to its completion. Please keep working in me so that I'm one of the soils that produces. And I can't do it myself. I need you to. But I'm saying, here am I. Here am I. Whatever your will is for me. And Lord, please, in this moment of silence, I know that you have someone for each one of us to befriend and either share the gospel with or help them grow. To just share with them what you've been doing in us. And so during this moment of silent prayer, please speak and reveal. But I don't want to put you in a box. You might do it tonight, tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month. But I thank you in advance for how you are going to speak. Because my sheep hear my voice. You said that, Jesus. And you sent the Holy Spirit. So that literally, even greater things than these will occur through us. And so, Holy Spirit, continue to come. We wait in silence. We wait in your very presence.